following program is pre-recorded. Welcome to Hope in the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help, and on the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver, here with author and speaker June Hunt. Well, June, today is Columbus Day.
Yes.
Is that right?
Well, it is, but I'm offended.
Uh-oh.
Well, I'm offended that Italians are offended. Mm-hmm. I took 2 years of Italian in college.
So what kind of kinship?
You know, it's interesting. I had a teacher who didn't just teach the language. She taught the country. There were people who were even flunking out, and they still would come back and sit in on her phenomenal lectures. She was married to an Italian, and he was a photographer, and but she was a phenomenal teacher, and Mrs. Comini, and but very seriously, there are Italians right now, American Italians, who are offended because the statues, certain statues of Christopher Columbus, have been torn down, toppled. One major one is just boarded with boards, literal boards. And there was an appeal to the government for Columbus Day celebration to take Columbus out of the box, and that was denied. So, I mean, just, I don't like what's going on. I don't like the cancel culture. But I was looking for something. I just had been sent this through our able, our substitute, the person who's normally on controls, engineering, but Robert, who's over our whole broadcast ministry, he got to me through you, Jeff, some history here that I wanted to share, and I won't have time to fully do justice, but maybe I'll do a part two tomorrow. But you know, when we think of Columbus, Christopher Columbus, there is a due reputation of the founding of the United States of America. There are these federal holidays, and that would be October 11th for Columbus Day. It is basically kind of the least honored holiday because of the controversy that has been associated with Christopher Columbus. But now, what's fascinating here is Columbus never actually set foot on or came close to any territory that later became part of the continental United States. But I want us to be very clear. Christopher Columbus has a fascinating past in terms of what he did. There's not only a great deal to celebrate in Columbus, but the man himself embodied a range of attributes that are necessary for solving just normal problems, contemporary problems. But to accomplish what he did is quite extraordinary, especially during his era. He's contributed to, or it's contributed to him, that he was saving our country from decline or further decline from collapse, corruption, and abuse of power. His story begins with a seafaring discovery momentum. In other words, he loved the sea, and he sailed from Europe. I cannot imagine during his day, 4,000 miles, he went south and west across the Atlantic, the ocean, in the late 15th century. And he was actually trying to find a western passage to the Spice Islands and India. And there's a second reason he set forth on this quest, and it was to carry the good news of Jesus Christ, the Savior, to the people of the new parts of the world. Again, he was motivated spiritually, and that's what I think a lot of people are not aware of. Even though he just grew up in a working class family, his life was one of hardship. But these are his words, and this is by his late 30s. He felt called. He wrote this in a diary. He wrote vociferously. It was the Lord who put into my mind, and I could feel his hand on me, that it would be possible to sail from here to the Indies. Now, the point is, he attributes his what he did in his life to the Lord. He said, I could feel his hand upon me. Let me mention more tomorrow evening. I think this is important.
For bringing hope in the darkest hours, we're celebrating June Hunt and 26 years of Hope in the Night. June will tell you that a radio program was nowhere on her radar, but God had a different plan. On the first broadcast of Hope in the Night, June talked with people about fear, alcohol abuse, anger, and we'll never forget the woman facing an unplanned pregnancy. Help us mark this 26th year by making a $26 gift or even a $260 gift to our late night radio ministry. It would be a special blessing if you would make your gift a monthly gift. Just go to hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546. That's hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546.
Would you like to talk to June Hunt about a situation in your life? Consider having that conversation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, and let June help you discover practical help that's grounded in God's truth. Your story will be heard on all of our radio affiliates, and of course, we protect your privacy by providing you with a different name. And as it happens often in our program, when you share your story, you might help someone else find biblical hope and practical help for their life. It's ministry multiplied. For an opportunity to talk with June Hunt on Hope in the Night about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or some other concern in your life, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-644-4817. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call tonight. 800-NIGHT-17. 800-644-4817.
You are listening to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we'll get to our caller in a moment. If you have questions about any topics tonight, really any number of topics, we have over 100 keys for living that will help you address your situation and what you might be going through in life. Call our customer support team at 800-488-HOPE. They're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and they can help you access the resources that you need that will help you the most. Their number again is 800-488-4673. Also, check out our website, hopefortheheart.org/store, and you can find new updated Keys for Living, also our Lifeline to Hope online training, as well as June's many biblical resources with books and music CDs. It's all there at hopefortheheart.org/store. Let's turn to our caller for tonight, and we have listening in Oregon, on a podcast. Tonight we have James.
Well, welcome to Hope, James. I'm so glad you called.
Hello, Mrs. Hunt. It's nice to talk to you.
Thank you. By the way, just call me, would you just call me plain old June? That would make me feel better. You don't have to call me anything else. Just June. I'm June Hunt, but that's okay. Is that okay?
Okay.
Thank you. I'm going to call you James.
All right.
So, continue on.
This is what I told Jeff earlier.
Okay.
This is my situation. I believe I suffer from a moral injury. That is damage done to one's conscience or moral compass when that person perpetuates, witnesses, or fails to prevent acts that transgress one's moral beliefs, values, or ethical codes of conduct. When I was a child, I was a victim of both physical and sexual abuse. This has had adverse effects on my relationships with both God and man. Mm-hmm. Because of the trauma I've suffered, my view about God has been damaged. Instead of fear of the Lord, I have a terror of the Lord, where I want to run away from him instead of run to him. Moreover, this makes me think I have an unredeemed soul, where my mind, will, and emotions rule the day. There are some sins I've committed that I would like to repent of, but I don't know how. Mm-hmm. I'd like for God to forgive me of my sins. I want to forgive those who have hurt me in the past, but need help. Long story short, I'm a mess. How could someone like me bear much fruit? That's my situation.
I want to thank you for expressing very concretely the cause of the pain in your life. The moral injury that you spoke of, the damage done to you, and any type of abuse is absolutely, it is not just wrong, it's evil. Now, I heard what you said because of what you suffered. I heard clearly this is not unusual for a person who experienced physical and sexual abuse to, it's like, I'm going to put it other words, and you tell me if this is what you might be on the inside of you saying, if God is a loving God, why would he permit such abuse? Or how could God allow this? You mentioned there's one thing to run from God. There's another thing to actually have terror of God.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, to have an unredeemed, I wrote down as fast as I could what you said. You said, I have an unredeemed soul. You know, it's interesting. There is the Creator God who is not, He is not malevolent. But what was done to you was malevolent. Is that not true?
Malevolent. What's that mean?
Malevolent, the mal part is bad. What was done to you, let's just say, actually was wrong. It's there's no excuse, my friend, for abuse. No excuse for abuse. And yet, unfortunately, tragically, there's a huge percentage of especially those who are most vulnerable, those who are young. The statistics are, but most people don't know the statistics of what you just described. For sexual abuse, the statistics for girls is 1 in 3. These are the statistics. 1 in 3 girls, 1 in 5 boys up to the age of 18. And most people are not aware of that. And therefore, there's hidden pain, unspoken pain, and unresolved pain when it's not been dealt with. And I feel for you, I hurt for you, because I know that actually the things that you've just described are actually forbidden in the Bible. They're forbidden by God. God is not the author of what happened. And this is what I can tell is the way you described what occurred is poignant, and it is intelligent. Would you allow me to attempt an explanation that I have absolutely learned because I heard you say that you have terror of God? But I think there could be something that I could share that could be of help. Is that safe for us to exchange, for me to tell you what I think could be of help?
Go for it.
Oh, thank you. When God create, first of all, you know, let's consider there is a God. And I'm going to say it this way. There is physical matter. Physical matter. I'm looking right now at wood. I'm looking at metal. I'm looking at cloth. You know, there's things I right outside a window, though I have difficulty seeing it. There are trees and there's the earth. There's a scientific law. Since you are intelligent, and I know you are, that you would perhaps know that there's a scientific law that something cannot come from nothing. Something, in other words, matter cannot come from nowhere. In other words, there's no such thing as spontaneous generation. Scientists will agree with that. So, if you have to go back to first cause. What caused this, the universe? Well, some would say, well, it's a soupy mass, and there's these energy forces, and positive, negative energy, combustion, a big bang. Well, what I would say is, where did the soupy mass come from? Where did that matter come from? Where did the energy sources come from? So we have to get back to first cause, and that's what scientists can't do by virtue of replication. They can't repeat this for proof. But the issue is God has revealed himself And he, if he's almighty, then he can do it however he wishes. And he has communicated the very first words in the Bible, in the book of Genesis. God created the heavens and the earth. Now, what we find is, okay, if he's the creator, he also created after a consecutive number of days, on the sixth day, he created human beings, male and female. He created them. But you find that these first two creations of his, listed as Adam and Eve, they were given a perfect environment, all the food they would need to eat to keep them healthy, alive. There was a garden, but he made provision for them. He told them only one thing not to do. Can you communicate what that one thing was?
I believe there was a tree in the midst of the garden.
Correct.
Tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
So he told them what not to do?
Not to eat from that tree.
And what did they do?
They ate from the tree.
Exactly. So notice, God gave them choice. God gave them choice. In other words, he did not create them as robots where they had to do what he would manipulate them to do. He told them what not to do, and they had choice. And that's what we have also, is choice. Now, the fact is, every one of us have chosen wrong. May not have been having anything to do with eating from a tree, but we've all chosen wrong. The Bible says in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the same thing. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned our own way. So all of us have chosen to go against what is God's will. So we'll come back and talk about the conclusion.
In these unprecedented times, millions are suffering with more stress, anxiety, loneliness, and depression. In the still of the night, when things slow down, these feelings can be the strongest. This is when June Hunt shares God's truth through this late-night radio ministry, Hope in the Night. She helps people find answers and critical next steps for their struggles. Help us mark this 26th year by making a $26 gift or even a $260 gift to our late-night radio ministry. It would be a special blessing if you would make your gift a monthly gift. Just go to hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546. That's hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546.
Did you know that June Hunt has a new website? JuneHunt.org gives you a behind-the-scenes peek into June's life and ministry. You'll hear her personal story of an uncertain childhood and how, even as a young adult, she struggled with anger, unforgiveness, lying, and her identity. Perhaps in June's story, you'll hear your story and discover the same hope and help that has guided her. As June says, God does not waste the trials in our lives. Along with June's story, you can see what's new as we work to share this message of biblical hope and practical help in more places and in new ways to reach more people. Because there is hope, no matter the circumstances. Make JuneHunt.org your place to go for what's new at Hope for the Heart, and make it your place to go for biblical hope and practical help anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to Hope in the Night. We're a ministry of hope for the heart, offering God's truth for today's problems. We exist because of your ongoing prayers and continued support of this ministry, and we thank you for that. Our customer support team can be reached at 800-488-HOPE. They're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and they'd be happy to guide you to God's hope through our resources. And we have the keys for living called abuse recovery, from surviving to thriving. And again, you can get that into your hands. Just order it through customer support at 800-488-4673. Now, if there's someone, something that you'd like to speak with June Hunt about on a specific situation, something going on in your life, or maybe you have called us before with Hope in the Night and you've been on and you've been helped by this program and would like to share that testimony, that that story of hope that was hope restored or hope realized for you through this program, please give us a call either way. If you have if you're new to us and have a situation you'd like to talk through, give us a call at 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-NIGHT-17. When you call, leave a detailed message so we can get back to you and schedule you for the next available Hope in the Night. That's 800-NIGHT-17 or 800-644-4817. Let's return to our conversation now with James.
James, I am. I feel grateful that you called, because what you've described is important. It's important that I don't want you to be controlled and be a prisoner of the past. My intent and prayer would be that in spite of the fact of the reality of the physical and sexual abuse, that there would be a road that you would take out of that pain, and I can communicate to you how I think it could be actually a motivation that would be pleasing to you as a result. In other words, you're not stuck with only the negativity, the severity of the transgression, as you've called it, because that was transgressed against you. And so what we're talking about right now is, there is a God who created the universe and us as human beings. The interesting thing is, with the way he constructed human beings, is every single person has choice. I'm not talking about just you or me. I'm talking about, there are times when people will choose to go against the will of God. Just like the first two people that he created, they chose to go against him, and it's not because he was not doing them great good. But instead, it's like, I'm going to do what I want to do against what you want me to do, God. And that was the way Eve started and Adam followed. So the issue was, there was a consequence. And the point that I think is important here is, many times God gets blamed for that which he did not cause. I'm hearing loud and clear that what you experienced has caused you to have terror of God. Now, the fact is, because we, all human beings, have chosen to go against his will, there are going to be times when there will be people who will do things to me, as have been done to you, to us, that are not God's will. Now, it's not God's fault. It wasn't God's initiation, because he can do no evil. The Bible is clear. God cannot lie. You see, his character is that which is against evil, and what happened to you is evil. My point is, if he were a corrupt God or a cruel God and acted in a way that would work intentionally against you, that would not be the God of the Bible. But what I'm saying to you is, the Bible actually describes, in fact, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is in Psalm 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. He's not remote. He's not uncaring. He's a God of compassion. And the key is not to run from him or be terrified by him, because he wasn't the guilty party. He did create human beings, and all of us have chosen to go against his will, and sometimes you and I will be a victim of someone else's choice, wrong choice, inexcusable choice. And that is something that I want you to be free of, because the truth is, we can think something, and the question is it right? In other words, we can have foundational thoughts, a foundation on which we are to build. Well, if our assumption is wrong, in other words, if our thoughts are wrong, then our conclusions are going to be wrong. And what I would say is, God did not cause what happened to you. He has compassion on what happened to you, and his plan actually is to enable you to be an overcomer, to literally see, you gain insight. I gain insight based on the painful experiences in our lives. I am not in any way saying that what I experienced was like yours. I had both of what you talked about, but it's minimal compared to what I think you experienced. Would you be willing to share with me what it was like for you to have, what did you experience as, I assume it was in your young life, the physical abuse? Could you describe that?
Well, one of the individuals that physically abused me when I was a kid just recently passed away. My uncle, when I was 2, I'm 51 now.
Okay.
what I remember vaguely from my parents is that I was spanked so hard I had bruises on my backside. I just recently told my my parents that I have forgiven him. My thinking along those lines, though, is that it says in the Lord's Prayer, if or somewhere in the Gospels, if I don't forgive people their sins, God won't forgive me of mine. So there's that angle. But for the most part, when I was in grade school as well as in high school, there were bullies in the special ed classes that I was a part of who would every other day perform some act of violence against me. One of which would punch me really hard to the point where I had a difficult time getting my breath. Those were experiences that I didn't like or appreciate when I was in school.
It's horrible.
It was like survival of the fittest. And when I was in school, it was like I was the prey. That was chiefly the physical abuse that I suffered when I was growing up.
That's terrible. Every other day. That bullying is... A person who's a bully targets someone and it is repeated. It's not just a one-time event. And I hate that for you. I really do. Thank you for sharing, because it helps me really understand. And I know that, in fact, there's in the Bible, you don't find one time where violence is ever right in God's sight. He says, put away your violence and make the righteous secure.
For bringing hope in the darkest hours, we're celebrating June Hunt and 26 years of Hope in the Night. June will tell you that a radio program was nowhere on her radar, but God had a different plan. On the first broadcast of Hope in the Night, June talked with people about fear, alcohol abuse, anger, and we'll never forget the woman facing an unplanned pregnancy. Help us mark this 26th year by making a $26 gift or even a $260 gift to our late night radio ministry. It would be a special blessing if you would make your gift a monthly gift. Just go to hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546. That's hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546.
As we each solve the puzzle that is our life, we often have questions we can't answer. Usually, they're little nagging questions, but sometimes they're larger. So large, in fact, the answer or even the question itself can have life-changing consequences. June Hunt believes the best answers to these tough questions come from God Himself, and He's given us those answers in the Bible. For more than 20 years now, June has helped callers find these biblical answers and apply them to their lives. You can talk with June on her radio program, Hope in the Night, about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or another concern in your life. Call 800-NIGHT-17. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call now, 800-644-4817.
Welcome back to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we want to help you, and we want to help you help others. If you have questions or concerns about the topic of bullying, you can call customer support at 800-488-HOPE. We have resources that might help you, and they're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time at customer support. They'll help you access the appropriate resources. And we do have the Keys for Living called Bullying, Bullied No More. And also we have Abuse Recovery, From Surviving to Thriving. Again, customer support can be reached at 800-488-4673. You may also email them if you'd prefer that. It's customersupport@hopefortheheart.org. Ask any questions you might have there, and talk about topics and resources that we have discussed in tonight's program. Again, that's customersupport@hopefortheheart.org. And now back to our conversation with James.
By the way, my friend, when you mentioned a very strong act that you have done, you talked about having forgiven your uncle who died, but you said you forgave him, and you're exactly right with what you said. First, you mentioned the Lord's Prayer, but it's actually two verses right after the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. The Bible does say, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. When I first really looked at that, I thought, oh God, please don't forgive me the same way that I forgave others. This is a long time ago, and I thought I had prayed that prayer in a church, but it was more rote. I wasn't even paying attention to what the words were, and then one day I realized, "Forgive us our debts." Do I really want God to forgive me in the same way that I have forgiven others? And I said, "No." And that was a motivation, one of the motivations for me to learn to forgive. But two verses later, you were correct, exactly correct. This is Matthew 6, verse 14. If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So the point is, sometimes, not always, sometimes a lack of forgiveness can be a block to what the Bible presents as salvation, what God plans and wants to give all of us, to literally, if we humble our hearts and receive Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, giving Him control of our lives based on our guilt and His death on the cross, where He died, literally paying the price for our sins. He has done His part. Our part is to receive Him as our Lord and Savior. And Lord means master, ruler, owner. master, ruler, owner. I'm pointing this out because you said that this is the reason why you realized you needed to forgive your uncle for his abuse. And you, because of this scripture, that if you do not forgive the sins of others, your Father will not forgive your sins. And see, he wants us to be forgiven. That's the whole point. His death on the cross, he was the payment price. His shed blood on the cross paid the price for our sin that we don't pay it. We just receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And the Bible says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So he comes in and he can make new our whole future. In fact, the Bible even says if anyone is in Christ, that person's a new creation. Old things pass away, all things become new. It doesn't mean that he negates. It's not like absorbing or absolving us of all the memory of the pain and the abuse. But the fact is that his presence within us actually is the change agent. And I know that personally because I didn't start out knowing anything about what the Bible taught. And I hated the physical abuse that I received from my father, and so that was a whole different story. But I'm impressed that you did something really that God has called us all to do. But you did it. You were willing to forgive your uncle.
Well, something else that comes to mind is Galatians 5:17, that fight between the flesh and the spirit that happens inside of me, and I don't like that sensation one bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are issues of first things first, meaning there are times when we have to look at, okay, what do I need to do now? What has God said that you are to do, that I'm to do, to not be controlled by the pain of the past? And what you've described is important. Not just what you've experienced physically, the wrongness, but it is true. There is a sin nature that desires what is contrary to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, what is contrary to the sin nature that we have, they are in conflict with each other. But you know what's incredibly important is the next verse. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. I think the key is not to be controlled by the pain of the past, but it's more than that. The key is the Bible says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. I remember being stunned, very candidly, my friend. I didn't even know anything about having a quote-unquote relationship with God through Christ. But what I think for the moment, I want you to realize the God who created not just the universe, but who created you, who created me, he is not one to be terrified of. He, in fact, when you look at his character, you know, we all have characteristics. And the good news about God himself is he is, God is love. Love does what's best in behalf of another person. Now you say, well, wait a minute. Why didn't then he intervene? God does at times, well, there's no question. If you look at the entire whole of the Bible, it kind of told you what God does, and he allows, there is no protective bubble. I'm going to say it that way. There is no protective bubble where if we are Christians or we are good people, that therefore we are protected from all wrong, all evil. No, if you'll notice, Jesus was crucified. If you'll notice, the apostles, his disciples, the apostles died primarily what we would call martyr death. They were martyrs for the cause of Christ. My point is, when we come into a relationship with Christ, then he begins to fulfill his purpose for me. And what I love is this particular passage, my friend, and I think this is really appropriate for you. It's highly significant. It's found in Jeremiah 29:11. He says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. I'm going to repeat that. This is highly significant. He says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That is his character. That's part of what he does. In fact, even before that, in fact, we all have three inner needs. I want you to listen to this carefully. Every one of us have, we all have three inner needs for love, significance, and security. In regard to love, the Bible says, my God has supplied all our needs. How does that work? Well, in terms of love, he says, I loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with loving kindness. Now, this is not Valentine ooey-gooey kind of love. This is a commitment to seek whatever is in your highest good. So he already has the plan for your future. You've lived a little over half of your life, but you have much more to go. And what I want to assure you of is if we get this straight about the character of God, and if you would choose to entrust yourself, and the issue of terror, it's not an issue of terrifying, having a terror kind of God, one who terrorizes. I know you said you had that, but the good news is when you understand his character, he says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. He says, I've got a plan for you. And then he says, when we're in that relationship, he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I think you need that kind of relationship with the true God of the Bible. Now, I know you and I are hearing music. Would you be willing to talk with me tomorrow night? Because I'd like to tell you the rest of the story and how it applies to you. Would that be permissible?
Okay.
All right. We have a date tomorrow night, and I'm going to ask our listening family to pray. pray for God's perfect will for you. I'm so glad we are talking.
We will send the Keys for Living called Bullying, Bullied No More. Also, Abuse Recovery from Surviving to Thriving. We send resources out to each caller. We do that free of charge because of your generous support of this ministry. If you'd like to give to support that and to keep Hope in the Night on the air, you can do so at hopefortheheart.org. Find the donate button there. We thank you for that. You may order resources for yourself at 800-488-HOPE anytime Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. And our materials and current programs are available at hopefortheheart.org. Also, check out our Facebook page. It is called Hope in the Night. Just go there and like that and share it with others. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope.